Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome. We are so happy to share our second show with you, and we hope it's just the second of very many to come. We enjoy having this hour, and we enjoy having your questions that we can answer on this hour. And so instead of it being a usual question-answer interview by someone, we are in fact answering your questions, so you are the interviewer. So let us begin. We are going to speak today a little bit about the fulfilling of prophecies in the book of Revelation, as well as how it pertains to 2012. Now, for those of you who had joined us for our very first show last week, we explained to you why time is not what it seems, why time is in fact very much sped up, and that we did in fact pass 2012. It was in August of 2005 that we started to go into 2011, and it was by October of 2005 that we passed 2012. There are those of you who have taken a look at our YouTube clips and our iTunes and so on, and have said to me, but why have you got a little section on preparedness if these huge prophecies of gloom and doom globally are no longer coming about? Well, my brothers and sisters, it's not that I expect global catastrophes. It is simply that it is always a nice thing not to be caught with your pants down. And it might just mean something as simple as losing your job. It might mean something as simple as, wait a minute, in Oregon we often have wonderful, wonderful windstorms that are at 150 miles an hour. I enjoy them immensely. But they do tend to make huge trees fall across the road, and our roads are our lifeline in and out of town. So there have definitely been weeks in which I cannot get to the grocery store, or the stocks in the grocery store are dwindling. Recent years, they've actually gotten generators, but before that, you couldn't even go in there because the electricity would be cut because of the wires and the trees. So, you know, I've just learned over the years that I have a little reserve, and this little reserve does not mean that we live in fear. It means we live in wisdom. Because in the same way, I always keep a little reserve of energy in my life. I don't deplete myself down to what the poets call the lees, in other words, the bottom of the cup, before I say, wait a minute, I have to rest, because the next moment a great deal of energy might be required of me. So it's not a matter of living in fear that I taught some very basic concepts on how we can be prepared, and how that preparedness can just prevent us from having our energy drained by being taken by surprise. It is actually just the way of the warrior. And I have for most of my life been part of the Toltec mysticism as a Nahual and a seer in the ancient Toltec seer traditions. They live with great conservation of energy, because energy and consciousness equate. And if you have only so much energy, all you can access is things that left brain pick up, and, you know, the vast majority of the cosmos out there is in fact to be picked up by your right brain. And if you don't have the energy left over, you become in the prison bars of the fishbowl of appearances. So they learn to conserve energy. They learn to keep a little reservoir of energy in the bank, so to speak. And one of those things that drains energy and thereby lowers consciousness is, in fact, the being taken by surprise or shock. So it's only as that principle of always having a little reserve, a little reservoir, not allowing yourself to be taken by surprise, that we have put on the clip on either YouTube or iTunes regarding this issue of preparedness. It's not because we are expecting any huge catastrophes. Those have definitely globally been prevented. It doesn't mean that localized ones cannot be attracted in if a group of people resist the changes that the massive ascension process that has been going on this planet, which we spoke about last week, brings to people. If they resist it, change is forced upon them. And that could occur in the form of less than pleasant occurrences. So in other words, we're preparing for the worst in order to expect the best. Expecting the best is not only our birthright, it is also a luxury that we purchase by making sure that we are not taken by surprise. So let us take a look now that we have gone into 2012. And again, there are multiple video clips on YouTube and iTunes discussing 2012 in detail. All the prophecies that have been prevented, that should have come about, how they were prevented, what we can still expect. So I would advise that you just go straight there. It's all for free. In fact, we have hundreds of hours of, well, perhaps it's more fair to say over 100 hours of question and answer archives that are entirely free to you if you just go to our website at www.spiritualjourneys, all one word, N-E-Y-S at the end, .com. And it will guide you to the places where you can get this free information. We weekly update our video clips. And so if you've read our books, there's even a further one available that we'll give you a password to, but it's for people that are familiar with terms, because in that one I don't redefine terms all the time so that I can do a bit more esoteric teaching without having to constantly describe it. So, you know, let's take a look at 2012 and the fulfilling of the prophecies in the book of Revelation, which is in the New Testament. We have already mentioned in many of our audio lectures and books that the New Jerusalem, which is described in Revelation chapter 21, is being prepared to house the eternal mother and father on earth. So we've also explained in the section on the realms of Arulu, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, that as the Earth started its ascension, shown on our calendar as February of 2005, it moved the heavens in a way that perhaps the best way we could explain it is that the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. If you go to Revelation 6, verse 14, it describes the sky as being rolled up like a scroll. Literally, the space we were in, which we are carefully outlining for you in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, the space we were in, the heavens that we used to have, no longer are. There is a hologram in place. And in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, the second half of it gives the ancient, ancient history of the Earth and how she came to be in this particular solar system, which is not where she originated. But it describes the terror of people as she moved out of her heavens through space and the catastrophes that this caused. The infinite has, in fact, created around us the visual image that space is still intact. But when we started to move out of our space, which happened around August of 2005, there were so many craft above the house. And they came and said, "What are you doing? We're all moving over the edge of space." And that is because we were creating a new heaven. The membrane that contained the known cosmic life of individuated life forms was in fact opened up, and it was opened up through the wheels within wheels discussed in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And at that time, the earth moved through that opening in the membrane in an orderly fashion, guided by thousands of angels and dictated by the infinite being. And we, in fact, had the new heaven that is described in Revelation 21, verse 1. And, you know, as I say, this is a fact that's been hidden from man to avoid instilling terror by the imposition of a hologram that still shows the heavens as they were. So the most holy and magnificent event of the Eternal Mother's coronation in the halls of Amenti on earth fulfilled the prophecy that says, "Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." That is in Revelation 12, verse 1. And the rebellion of the great fiery red dragon, described in verse 3 of that chapter, which is chapter 12, as I said, was also an event that was dealt with in 2005. I have chronicled these events because, as I described to you last week, in 2005, in the beginning of February, I was called in front of the Holy Mother, having no idea that a Holy Mother existed. I had always just prayed to the Holy Father. But I was called before the Holy Mother, and I was told that I would gather those on earth through my words and teachings that would become part of this great work of the ascension of the planet. And I chronicled it in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, which was my third of the seven books that I've written. So, even though the plagues and the afflictions and the earth changes and the war in heaven that was planned by the Red Dragon have been circumvented, much of Revelation and portions of the four Gospels tell of the close of the old cycle. And, you know, the Mayan calendar was quite right. That cycle did, in fact, close in 2012. But because we were moving up in consciousness, in other words, the earth was becoming less and less dense as it was moving up in realms, my beloved family of light, we were, in fact, going into places where time was different. And so our calendar is entirely wrong. So, you know, if we look at the four Gospels and the Revelation, for example, they're quite clear about the ushering in of the new creation and the reign of the Mother Goddess on earth. And the following prophecies have taken on a whole new meaning. So let's look at one of those prophecies that I'm going to take a look at with you. And it's the Great Judgment. And I'd like to read to you. Let's first read from John in the four Gospels, chapter 5, verse 24, 28, and 29. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes," and I've taken the liberty of changing him to her, the infinite mother, my brothers and sisters, is all masculine and all female, which is in fact 50-50%. The way that the infinite manifested to me was in the form of a mother, and in August of 2007, for the first time, I was able to encounter and directly communicate with the Father. But let's just substitute him for her for the moment. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in her, who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear her voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And this is from John. So let's now go to Revelations 3, sorry, it's Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test who dwell on earth. At the end of July 2006, at the close of another great cycle that had lasted for trillions of years, a great judgment did, in fact, occur. More than two-thirds of the cosmos had turned against the Holy Mother. Humans were spared who did so without awareness of their actions. This is because they weren't conscious of their life during the time of sleep, and their dream bodies were the ones primarily involved in this having to choose against or for the Holy Infinite Mother. But the rest of the rebellious part of the cosmos, as well as the less life-enhancing portions of humanity, perished. This is not visible to us, for again, in order to avoid fear, there are many empty, soulless bodies at this time who are going through the motions of life. However, they cannot sustain the life of their bodies for long without a soul, and deaths will have to occur. We'll take another look at this, but let's just take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field of making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience. Ascension, Elmine's gift as a mystic, are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize and Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almine, Almine, Spiritual, Spiritual Journeys, Journeys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Have been opening the doors of heaven with Armin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Armin.
Welcome back to our second segment of our today's show. And I want to discuss another part of Revelation, the book in, that's the final book of the Bible. And it speaks about those who overcome becoming earth leaders. And it says, "And he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him will I give power over the nations." With the exception of the two-thirds who rebelled against Mother, those remaining earned the right to govern the cosmos, assuming they have the highest love, praise, and gratitude. Let me explain about this a little bit. The human race has, in fact, become the archetype. And perhaps it's more accurate to say that they've always been the archetype, but that they now have stepped forward in their role as of the fact that the Earth started to lead the ascension of all life everywhere in the cosmos. It just seems inconceivable, my brothers and sisters of light, that such a tiny little planet could be so important. The footstool of the infinite. It is that pivot point which even the largest swing bridge will, in engineering language, pivot on the tiniest fulcrum point. That tiny fulcrum point that swings the bridge of cosmic life is Earth. And humanity is in fact governing the cosmos in that what occurs here occurs everywhere else. We are by proxy living out the epic drama that brings to a close ages of duality and ages of polarity. And on our multiple video clips, which you know you can find how to get to on www.spiritualjourneys.com, and if you have difficulty, we are always delighted to chat with you, and you can give a call at the number which we have given you, which is 502-499-0016. But we have there explained how the infinite has been closing the time of duality and polarity, the difference between those two concepts, and exactly why they took place in the first place. However, let's take a look at today's topics and stay with our topics, and let's look at the Book of Life. I have been intimately involved with those groups of masters that I've been working with since the beginning of this ascension process with the Book of Life. It is mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the goddess, and again it's God, but I've changed it to the goddess, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. During the months of January through August of 2006 and on to this very date, every day there are entries done into these books that determine the laws of reality, the Book of Life. It has metamorphosed. It has become the Book of Creation, but nevertheless, the Book of Life is contained within it, because it speaks about the books were opened. There are two books, and the one is the Book of Life, which pertains to the creations of the infinite. Then there is the Book of One Life, which pertains to the life of the one infinite being, and we are in the process of just doing final editing now on Windows into Eternity, which is a book that gives the most amazing, incredible information. I was so privileged to be the scribe of it, but it explains the infinite and how creation is actually formed. And there's a great many insights about the Book of the One Life, because when the infinite wants to change all of creation, it's changed within. And everything shifts. But the Book of Life pertains to us and the laws of our reality. So during these months, the masters in my classes and I have had almost daily assignments pertaining to the preparation of a book. The book is the infinite's book of highest wisdom, a standard to measure how life-enhancing a being is. It is the much-prophesied Book of Life. If a life is lived to the minimum standards of this book, it earns the right to continue life in the new creation and the ascended cosmos, which is still ascending. And in Revelation 3, verse 5, we read, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." The white garments refer to the light that is starting to be visible to some, shining around those of pure frequency. Each person has had an individual book containing their deeds during their lifetimes in previous cycles, because the cycle that we've just completed, which is trillions of years long, is one of many. And when a being is weighed against whether they will be part of that second death, which we'll discuss here just in a second, which means they will cease being individuated at all. They are not just judged against trillions of years. Many beings looked like they were squeaky clean during the last massive cycle, but for many cycles before that, they had non-life-enhancing agendas that they attempted to enact by looking like they were squeaky clean during the last cycle. Their own personal book judges them against all those cycles. So, and the white garments, my brothers and sisters, we have a website that is being added to still. I mean, we've just got the basics down, but the website is called Aruba Firina, A-R-U-B-A, Aruba, and then Firina, all one word, F for Fred, I-R-I-N-A. And we put on there our many, and it will continue to grow, so do keep looking at it. We're just basically constructing it right now. But it has the films and the clips and so on and the photographs that we take interdimensionally. And you will see there, I believe it's going to be put on this coming week, photographs of myself and the Master Rogier doing blessings on some of the people in the class. And the white light that is around us as the Mother and Father blesses these blessings is so strong that you can't see features. The Masters themselves are emanating these garments of white light. There are times, you know, that I had this recently in, I think it was two times ago in my Irish class, where I couldn't see my face in the mirror because the white light is shining through the skin. It's happening to more and more light workers as we move up in these levels of light. Those are the white garments referred to. So let's take a look at this issue of the absorption of life forms back into the sea of consciousness. And we will look at Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me explain this to you in some detail, but let me just first preface it with this. You see, the second death, which is the annihilation of individuation or identity, has ceased for all life that has earned the right to be in the new ascended reality in which we are. They have earned the opportunity for eternal life. For them, the reality of death is removed. All that is left of death is illusion. Now, my brothers and sisters, in The Ring of Truth, I describe very carefully why death is no longer necessary nor real. We can still choose to go through it if we wish, but why give up our power? And so death is no longer a reality. And I describe that, and if we have time today, I will certainly go there. But just to finish these thoughts, so many bodies on earth are empty and need to die. So there will definitely be many bodily deaths. But the bodies that have souls in them will die only if their belief systems keep death's illusion in place. This applies to the remaining spirits as well. As we rise, and those are the spirits in the spirits world, you see. So as we rise into higher levels of energy, the dead will once again be among us. They will not have changed to matter. We will have changed to light. So let's just look at this very quickly, and then we'll take another short break. But I wanted to explain why death has ceased to be in a nutshell. But I want to tell you that we do have video clips on why death is not a reality. That those clips are just 6 minutes long, but they are jam-packed, full of succinct information for you. So they're easy to look at and should be easily accessible to you. And, of course, they are free as well. So, my brothers and sisters, death was called by Toltec Nahuals that form of mysticism that's dedicated to impeccability and leading others out of illusion as one leads yourself out of illusion. That it's been called the tumbler because it was a tumbling force. And what it was, it was trillions and trillions of little spiraling waveforms of awareness that had an arcing motion throughout all existence and tumbled against the bodies around our physical body, which the Toltecs call the luminous cocoon, and we illustrate these bodies in many of our books, the etheric body, the emotional body, etc., like stacked inside one another like Russian dolls. It ground against it, and if we resisted life, there was wear and tear on these bodies until eventually those bodies cracked and they would fold in upon themselves like an embryo shape around the feet of the person, which is death. And in August of 2006, there was a massive event that the Ring of Truth, which is my fourth book, speaks about. And what it meant was a huge pole reversal in the cosmos. In that instant, these trillions of moving spirals of awareness shattered into infinitesimally small little bits, and they stopped moving. That meant there was no longer a tumbling force. Death was no longer a reality. Day by day by day, stalking us as it ground against our luminous cocoon. Death as a reality ceased to be fulfilling this prophecy. But let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back with us. Now there is a little bit that I've neglected to tell you about that previous revelation, which was Revelation 24, verse 14 and 15. It speaks about that the dead will be among us. And that is, in fact, a very interesting point because multiple changes have happened during 2008 in an attempt, and it's complete at this point, to heal duality and polarity. Now, let's just look at duality for an instance, because duality is that which is separated, which must really be together. It's like pulling apart the threads of a beautiful tapestry and not being able to see the big picture of it, and then eventually letting those threads fall back into their unity so that you can see the picture. The realms have collapsed into denser levels. If you can think of the realms as being octaves on the piano before, now they're all in one octave, but they're still separated, but now they're only notes apart. Literally, the dead is more among us if we look at it as being in the same octave of existence than it has previously been. Similar changes have occurred in the physical body and the fields around the body. So the dead that we have, you know, that are in the spirit world, which incidentally, let's just look at what Hades is. My brothers and sisters, it says that Hades will be done away with. Hades must deliver up the dead. When I started working very heavily with the spirit worlds per mother's instruction at the end of February of 2005, the spirit world had a lower spirit world called in the New Testament spirit prison, and there was a higher spirit world. The Egyptians called it Sekhet Hepsbet, and the other one, I forget its name now, but there were two different names given for these two different levels. Sekhet Hepsbet was the higher one. And so the two levels were united at that point, so that those in the lower spirit worlds could move into the higher levels as well. And this is what Hades is. These spirit realms that are now united into one. So those spirit realms where they were no longer exist, the dead are among us, which is why it says, you know, that the dead will be among us. Now, there's a very strange little verse here in Revelation 18, verse 7 and 8. And it says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In the measure that she glorified herself," this is same section, "and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, 'I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow.' She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the eternal God and who judges her. Among the deceivers and bringers of pain, there were dozens of note under the primary male god." Now, what that means, my brothers and sisters, the true God of truth, we're in much, much higher realms than where we were in 2005, in 2006. It was only in 2007, after ascending through multiple, multiple levels of life, that our cosmos encountered the true Father in heaven. Mother had gone down into the descension with her children to bring them back home. Father had kept the space. So there were many gods that are referred to in this in Revelation, as well as goddesses that were imposters, because Mother had to assume forgetfulness, as she, otherwise she could not descend with us into the density. They did everything they could to try and grapple and get control of the cosmos. So there was also one of the goddesses who had plotted to become queen of the cosmos, as she observed the kings gathering forces to suppress and injure Mother. She worked from two levels of existence, but nothing could save her and those she seduced into following her from the ultimate fate of extinction that awaited her. This happened, incidentally, in May of 2007. There was, in fact, a time when a black hole was deliberately created to cause the minds of the beings in the cosmos to bend. And I did describe this in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. It was an incredible situation. Only man could think clearly. And we've been like an anchor for the cosmos, because we are the densest of beings are on Earth. And, you know, things for us change slowly, and we're oblivious to a lot that goes on out there. But there was a time that every being I worked with in the hidden realms couldn't think clearly. They were drunk. And so it speaks of how they were drunk. And it was because of this black hole that was created that bent the minds of all beings, except man. So, you know, this they acted as though they were drunk, and that was when she and some of the dark males persuaded many of the beings in the cosmos to give them their power. In Revelation 3, verses 11, there is a warning. It says, "Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." This is also why the parable of the foolish virgins who give away their oil for their lamps of and then did not have enough when the bridal procession came. See, the bridal procession has been the bride leading the the bridal procession home to the bridegroom. It has been the Infinite Mother leading the ascension of the cosmos to meet up with the Father in August of 2007. And see, the foolish virgins gave their power away because they were persuaded during that time to give their power away because they couldn't think clearly. And so they didn't have enough consciousness, which is the oil for the lamps, when the bridal procession came. So power yields perception, my brothers and sisters, and vice versa too, actually. But those who had given their power away did not have enough perception to see through the web of illusion when the final testing of the Great Rebellion came and they had to take a stand. So, you know, there's many prophecies about how these imposter gods who posed as the true Father in heaven, which they were not, were done away with. It says the beast was captured and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence. These two were cast alive into the lake of burning brimstone. This is only one of many, many verses indicating the triumph of good over evil, as well as the destruction of the ones of darkness. Now, there's a fascinating verse in Revelation 20, verses 10, which, you know, sounds sort of grotesque if you read it until you understand it. And this particular principle that I'm about to explain to you is written about in detail in a little chapter in The Ring of Truth. But let's go to the verse. It says, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great goddess." And again, I substituted goddess for God, "that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men." The density of the previous cycle has become an energy source for the beings that have earned the right to live in the new creation. And, you know, there's the section, as I say, in The Ring of Truth, it's called How to Digest Density as an Energy Source. And the light promoters literally have been able to feed off the negativity of the God kings of the past. And that is what that verse means. Now, in Revelation 21, verse 6, it says, "And she said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" In chapter 22, verses 1 and 17, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne, and let him who thirsts come." In the new creation, this holy city of the New Jerusalem that is referred to in over and over in Revelations speaks about a pure river of life coming out of the throne of the infinite. In the new creation, my brothers and sisters of light, the Holy Mother provides a never-ending stream of awareness that issues forth from her throne and spreads across the cosmos. It is freely available to anyone who has love and praise and gratitude. And this is the fountain of living waters referred to in many scriptures. "All things shall be renewed," it says as well. It says, "And the goddess will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death," I've already explained that, "nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. In the twinkling of an eye, all things were renewed when we entered the new creation." This reflects that which Mother is, and changes all things from mortal to immortal. Even old patterns or imprints from the past have been removed. So, what I need to explain on this one is that in August of 2006, four distorted frequencies were removed and substituted with pure frequencies. And the four distorted frequencies were pain, fear, anger, and protectiveness. It says here in verse 4 and 5, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you go either to my website on the Bell Vaspata, B-E-L, V for Victor, A-S-P-A-T-A site, a page, or there is a Bell Vaspata site that the masters in my classes have actually put up, and it gives you there in detail the 12 pairs of pure emotions. They have replaced pain. And it says, then she who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. About a month before this massive transformation happened in August of 2006, I was told, actually by one of the ascended masters, soon there shall be a great miracle. At the time, I didn't know what he meant. Now I do. It is with gratitude for these words of hope that I acknowledge that they helped get me through a time during which I thought I couldn't bear the anguish of seeing the darkness and treachery that I had to witness and help reveal from these imposter gods. But a great miracle has indeed occurred, my brothers and sisters. Pain is no longer a reality, but an illusion. A long eternal day of joy has dawned. We will be back in a few minutes.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven without me. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Naomi.
So, we have to discuss today, and we don't have that much time left, the Hollow Earth and the restoration of the 10 lost tribes that disappeared seemingly off the face of the earth around the time that Nebuchadnezzar captured Judea. So let's take a look at the inner earth, my brothers and sisters, because an incredible time has happened when the first delegation of 300 from the inner earth is currently today making their way inside the hollow earth to the opening at Mount Shasta so that they can come forth to the crust of the earth, fulfilling prophecies that have been given in multiple scriptures. There are sacred libraries on Mount Hebron that prophesy and give the messages. The Mormon prophecies and prophets have been speaking about this in their various scriptures, and it is in many of the scriptures in the Bible. So this incredible event is already in the process of taking place. And, you know, it seems unrealistic that the largest population on Earth would be living in the hollow Earth. How can such a large number of people be sustained? We, however, have very large oceans deplete our environment due to unsound environmental practices and have vast regions of land and deserts that aren't arable. Not so with the inner Earth. The Hopis call it the land of the smoky sun. And the information I got from the beings of the inner earth, I have given in very much detail in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The temperature is very hot, and it hovers around 102 degrees. And because many from the inner earth will soon make their way to the surface, some are already preparing for this because of the fact that they're going to encounter colder temperatures here. There is usually no rain or snow in the inner earth, but mind-controlled weather produces very high humidity, 4 times a year to water the verdant plant life and maintain the water sources. The last 20 years have seen incredible changes to the land masses and inhabitants of the inner earth. And in the book, The Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we do show you the maps which correspond to the maps that the Germans, for instance, under Hitler, had meticulously gathered, which reflects the map of the inner earth before 20 years ago. But I give it after 20 years ago as well as geographical names of the inner earth. And the reason why is that incredible change happened in the earth, inner earth, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, the climate turned very severe. One of my friends within the inner earth called it the time of the big freeze. Everything froze, and then the climate became warm again, melting all the ice and snow and causing such massive floods that the entire map of the land masses changed. And according to my friends, the disruption in the weather was caused by incorrect thinking. Now, who knows? It could be class, consciousness, or greed. I did not ask them. But amazingly, only 2% of the population was lost because of a tremendous miracle that occurred. An aspect of the Creator Goddess herself appeared in a vision to 55% of the population, sending them into God consciousness mastery, silencing their minds and greatly expanding their awareness. This group went into the stillness of mind just prior to the freezing conditions. When their world became disrupted enough to disintegrate the old thinking patterns, and over half the population had already entered God consciousness, programming their grid accordingly, because all species are connected to fields, actually, rather than grids, another 43% entered this state of expanded awareness. This happened after the freeze, but before the thaw and the flooding. And 90% of the inner earth's population could therefore feel in their hearts where they should go to wait out the coming cataclysms. And the people of the inner earth have a separate grid or field, if you will, which tells a species how to act from ours. They represent the etheric body of the earth, even though they are as physical as we are, and we represent the physical body. And the only exceptions to the physicality of those in the inner earth are the giants, who are one level up in frequency. And it makes them invisible and intangible to us. But during the freeze, 40 giants were lost, and I don't know the current numbers, but I was told in 2005 that there were several hundred of them. So let's take a look very quickly at some of the population groups in the inner earth. They have the same variety of skin colors as we have on the outer earth, but with slightly different features. In 2005, there were 1,800 Hebrews who found their way there a little after the Babylonian invasion of Judah. They are the descendants of those generally referred to as the 10 lost tribes. These are the shortest inhabitants. Their height is between 4 foot 6 inches to 5 foot 1 inch, and they still speak a form of Hebrew. There are 22,000 German descendants. 21 entered there through an opening at the headwaters of the Amazon during the 15th century. 14,000 Germans entered at the same place at the end of World War II. No SS soldiers or Nazi leaders were permitted in. They had obtained maps from some of the original Germans who had returned many centuries before. Some still speak a dialect of German, and their height is the same as ours. And there are Atlantean and Lemurian remnants in there, and they comprise the rest, and they're vastly in the majority, making Atlantean the most widely spoken language of the earth. And the Atlantean catastrophes occurred 1,200,000, 75,000 years ago, and then the last one sank, Atlantis, then known as Poseidonis, 11,586 years ago, as of 2006, so it would now be 11,588 years ago. Many Atlanteans escaped by going into the Hollow Earth. Lemurians entered there in large numbers, 1,600,000 years ago. And they range from 6 foot to 12 foot. And then, of course, there are the giants. And, you know, incidentally, people think that we are very far-fetched, speaking of giants. But take a little look at the Old Testament, because it mentions the giants many places. Genesis 6, verses 4, Numbers 3, verses 33, Deuteronomy 2, verses 20, Joshua 12, verse 4, and Samuel 21, verse 22. All of these mention the giants. We have on Arubaferina's website, in fact, a picture of a giant that strolled through our glass. So you may want to take a look at that as well. Now, it's getting close to closing time for us, my brothers and sisters. I just want to let you know that the Atlantean clock, as well as the Atlantean alphabet, the Lemurian alphabet, all of those things are in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And we give some of the numerical systems as well. The Atlantean clock is accurate to within 5 minutes. It's an extraordinary clock. And the only clock more superior than that that I've come across is listed in the book Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, in which the cat people give the clock of the Zhong Galabruk, which maps out the frequency changes of the day. And so that is in there. I also want to give you the very good news, which we will close on this note. But, you know, I've given a video clip, it's on YouTube or iTunes, on this issue of finding our soulmates and finding our twin flames. But many of the future spouses and partners for the major lightworkers on the planet will, within the next few years, be emerging from the inner Earth. They will be bringing with them an evolved Atlantean culture, and their advent will enrich our lives, raise planetary consciousness, and bring some humility to the arrogance of the minds of men who thought they knew the cultures of the Earth. It's therefore important and interesting to study their culture as we give it in that book. I've had a wonderful hour with you. I hope you have enjoyed it as well. And this is, in fact, the only radio show that's live. I've got many, many shows everywhere with archives, hundreds of hours of them for you to look at. But this is the only show that's live. And so we can bring you news that happened today. So much love to you, and we'll be with you again next week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.